Good evening, Trinity. It's good to have you here with us this evening. A very somber, reverent, and yes, as we think about it and look at it, it's also a celebrative day of knowing that our sins are forgiven. And as we see the size and the enormity of the cost, it reminds us also of the somberness. Tonight we have here for you the opportunity to receive the ashes upon your forehead or upon your hand, and we'll have that part in the service where you'll just simply come up and just come up on your own, and please come up as you can through this service as it's marked. And when you do so, there's a bucket with some nails in it to remind us of the cost of Christ and his death, his resurrection, and the price he paid to forgive you and me. Also, I'd just like to say there will be communion in a separate part of the service. So this evening, it'll probably be around a full hour, simply because we have a lot to do with the imposition of ashes and Holy Communion, and to be able to worship and receive a message, it will be that. We thank you, Sandy, for being with us and again playing for us. Our choir is going to be performing in between the epistle and the gospel. And so we wanted to make sure you were aware of that as well. That is not in the bulletin. God's richest blessings as we begin our worship this evening. Please stand as we fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, this Advent season. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come to Lent again, these 40 days in which to prepare for Easter. This is a period of introspection and of contrition. It is a time given to us to struggle against all that the world would distract us from, seeing the sacrifice of Christ in our place. The good news that he has paid for all of our sins once and for all.
Amen.
Please join us.
Blood for vengeance, lead it to the skies, but the blood of Jesus for our pardon cries. Oft as earth exalting wafts its praise on high, angel hosts rejoicing make their glad reply. Lift we then our voices, swell the mighty flood, louder still and louder, praise the precious blood.
We are called to acts of piety, praying and fasting, especially during Lent. But Jesus warns us against seeking public approval or divine reward. Our actions can only be responses to our Lord's sacrifice for us. Our sins have been washed away in baptism, and His Spirit has granted us faith in Christ. Only Christ makes us pleasing to the Father. Thanks be to God. O come, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame.
And is seated at the right hand of God.
You may be seated.
Good evening.
Good evening.
The Old Testament lesson on this Ash Wednesday evening comes from the book of Joel, chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle this evening comes from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 5. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true. Treated as unknown and yet well known. As dying and behold, we live. As punished and yet not killed. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich, and having nothing, yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel appointed for this evening is taken from the book of St. Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning with verses 1 and following. Jesus said, "Beware of the practicing your righteousness before other people, in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, that you have received their reward. They have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, and that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may be not seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Finally, do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Here ends the reading of our gospel lesson. Let us heed our Lord's call and go to him in repentance. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have displayed the same errors of the people who first saw our Savior. With the disciples, we have misjudged the good deeds of others and have failed to see that our Lord is pleased with the loving service of his followers. With Judas, we have betrayed our weak faith when making difficult decisions. With the closest disciples, we have preferred physical comfort over spiritual turmoil. Peter, we have... With the Jewish leaders, we have allowed our personal plans to oppose God's will. With the casual observers, we have not always looked beyond what our eyes can see in the sacrament. With those that call God, we have had time to fail to fix our eyes on Jesus. With Jesus' followers, we have not always looked beyond what we see in the present moment. Our Heavenly Father, forgive us all our sins for Jesus' sake. Help us fix our eyes on our Savior each day until we follow him to our eternal home, where we shall see him face to face. Amen. You may be seated. We'd invite you to come forward during this hymn and receive the ashes.
Do you do it with your finger?
Finger or thumb.
Okay.
And this is kind of a dust you are, dust you came from, dust you will return. Ted, from dust you came, to dust you will return, but you are redeemed by Christ the Crucified. From dust you came, to dust you will return, but you are redeemed by Christ the Crucified. dust you came, JC, to dust you shall return, for you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. Bonnie, from dust you came, to dust you are, and will return, but you have been redeemed by Christ the crucified. Lauren, receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. From dust you came, and to dust you will return. From dust you came, to dust you will return, but you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. Ulysses, from dust you came, to dust you will return. You are redeemed by Christ the crucified. Welcome. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. You are redeemed by Christ the crucified. Linda, receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified, and from dust you came, and to dust you will return. But thanks be to God. Receive the sign of the cross, remembering that you have been redeemed by Christ the crucified. From dust you came, and to dust you will return. Gail, from dust you came, to dust you will return, but you have been redeemed by Christ the crucified. Amen. Maggie, from dust you came, to dust you shall return, but you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. Thanks. From dust you came, to dust you shall return, you've been redeemed by Christ Jesus the crucified. Larry, you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. Barbara, the Lord bless you. You've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. From dust you came, from dust you shall return. David, from dust you came, to dust you will return, but you have been redeemed by Christ the crucified, risen from the dead. Go in his peace. You have come from dust, and from dust you shall return, but you have been redeemed by Christ the crucified, risen from the dead. Receive the sign of the cross, for you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. From dust you came, and to dust you will return. Taylor, receive the sign of the cross as a reminder that you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. From dust you came, to dust you will return, but be of good cheer. Christ is risen. Daniel, receive the sign of the cross. From dust you came, to dust you will return, but you have been redeemed by Christ the crucified. Gave you a little extra on the nose. Receive the sign of the cross as a reminder that you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. From dust you came, to dust you will return. Be of good cheer. Christ is risen, and so shall you. Stephanie, receive the sign of the cross as a reminder that you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. Jason, receive the sign of the cross. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. But you have the victory of knowing that Christ is your Lord and your Savior. Amen. Got him. Mel, receive the sign of the cross as a reminder that you've been redeemed by Christ the crucified. And may you have that good news go with you this night. From dust you came, to dust you shall return. At the end of the night, we are mission accomplished.
Jesus, I will ponder now. Thank you.
This evening's text is taken from Mark 14. It's a familiar story. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him, Jesus, by stealth and to kill him. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people. And while Jesus was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, he was reclining at table, and a woman came with an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And she broke the flask and poured it over his head. There were some who said to themselves indignantly, why was this ointment wasted like that? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they scolded her. But Jesus said, leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whatever you want, you can do good for them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body for burial. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Here ends the reading of our text. You may be seated. If you came forward and you got ashes in your eyes, you might not be able to see as clearly as you did before. And I know that I did give a couple of you a little extra, free of charge. But I did want to let you know, our inborn sinfulness is like that ashes in the eye to our spiritual vision. We look at the things of good and distort that which seems to have a different purpose, like the woman of today's text. And we look upon what is beautiful and misjudge sometimes its value or worth. Jesus says in the gospel, when you have the needy, and so he assumes that as Christians we will and should give to those who are in need. That's not bad, but something needy must be a good thing, or else Jesus would have never commanded that. However, here in this evening's text, there was something greater happening. Jesus says you will always have the poor with you. But sinners misjudge the purposes of the woman's deeds. Jesus criticized these hypocrites, and he reminded them in the synagogues and the streets for conspicuously giving to the needy in order to be praised by others. Likewise, they prayed long-winded prayers and the such, and made a show of fasting in order to be seen by others. And being praised and seen by others, they received the rewards they were seeking, to be held in high esteem by all the people. This is an entirely self-serving sacrifice, and it is a godless approach to doing good works, because it pays really no thoughts to the Heavenly Father and seeks only the rewards of human recognition. On the other hand, those who come to the Father through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, view good works as a possibility of something to do, an opportunity to serve their neighbor, to please God. In fact, they're not even seeking a reward or recognition. Jesus never says that rewards are why Christians do those good deeds. He promises that the Father will reward almsgiving, prayer, and fasting for his children and the like. But reward is not our motivation. Our old Adam misjudges this point often. Often it does. Sin's deep delusion is that good works must be done in order for us to do or to receive the reward of eternal life. Certainly there must be something I can add to what you've done, Jesus. Or so we think. That is the worst misjudgment we can make. Thanks be to God on Ash Wednesday. His word, along with all the songs we will sing, painfully remind us of our utter wretchedness and desperate need for the forgiveness of our sins. We also see that there's a clarity and a need. Because we sin, we have a need to understand that we too are needy and need the help of God, not of our good works, but of Christ's good work, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what we really need. The Passover and Passion were just a couple of days away. And can you imagine it? All the feasting and celebration that was going on here in Simon Peter's house, in the leper's home. They were thinking about the party. They were thinking about the celebration. And Jesus knew that their minds were not centered or focused upon his coming crucifixion, even though he told the disciples repeatedly that that time was drawing near. But unlike Jesus, the guests at Simon's dinner party really didn't have their mind on the cross. When the uninvited woman barged in, broke open a jar of perfume, and then dumped it over Jesus' head. You know, often in our movies and the like, we see that as being a very serene and slow narrative, kind of orderly. What I think I see is that she looked for an opportunity to come in, perhaps through the back door, find her way to Jesus, and through those guests, she found that maze, and she got to Jesus, pops open the bottle, breaking it of this costly perfume. And she doesn't just pour it out dripping over Jesus' head. She dumps it on his head so that no one could stop her. Our text suggests a suddenness, a clumsiness of such a situation. And when I start to see it, I see a woman that is intent on worshiping her Lord and her Savior, preparing him, doing this one thing that she believed God wanted her to do, drenching Jesus with this costly perfume. There were those that looked at the value of the ointment that we read about. This perfume could have been sold for more than 300 denarii. A denarii is one day's wage for a common laborer. In this one act, at that one moment, this woman had given basically a 1 year's worth of value to the anointing, if you will, of Jesus. And by the way, Christ means the anointed one. And Jesus says that a little bit later. But the value and the worth of this, if we look at 300 denarii or more, is nearly a year's worth of wages, and at $12.50, the math is simple. Over $30,000 in today's standards. Before the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples estimated that over 200 denarii would be needed to feed the 5,000. Just imagine they were thinking, how many people could be fed with 300 denarii or more? That's what the guests at Simon's dinner party were thinking amongst themselves. They were outraged with the woman's, indignant with her actions. It wasn't politically correct, you might say. But she decided there was a different definition of PC, a PC that meant praise Christ. To praise Christ through this action is what Jesus saw this woman doing as she came and anointed his body for burial. She understood. As Jesus said those words to her, he comes to the woman's defense and he tells her critics to back off. She has prepared his body for the most important, most noble good deed in all of human history, his suffering, his death, and his burial. It's good to give to the needy, and yes, to the poor. But when the incarnate Son of God himself is sitting at your dinner table, preparing to suffer and die, and to take on the sins of the entire world of all time in just a couple more days, it was a small price to pay when the Son of God himself would give up his very own life for you and for me and for the world. What the dinner guest at Peter's table, Simon's table, they could not see the uniqueness and the tremendous weight and worth of that moment that they were witnessing. For God's anointed one, Christ the Messiah, was about to be accomplishing his once for all Passover Lamb of God sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world. This moment was not business as usual. As the Son of God went to the cross willingly to offer his life for yours and for mine, we are reminded of this woman's great feat and her worthy gift that she gave Jesus as she anointed him. The aroma from the perfume probably filled the house. Like a dozen Easter lilies at Easter time, smelled throughout the house that wonderful smell of the resurrection. Soon Jesus would be hanging upon a cross. The sweat and his blood would be pouring down from his veins and from his face. And one has to wonder, could he still smell the perfume that this unnamed woman had prepared and given him for preparation of his burial? Could that have been that thing that spoke to him at that moment? In holy baptism, you and I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and anointed with the Holy Spirit to sanctify us and to make us holy and pleasing to the Father. And the beautiful robe of Christ's righteousness has become yours so that you no longer face eternal death, damnation, or hell. And the power of sin and death and Satan has been shattered, just like that alabaster bottle. And you and I have been liberated from the realm of darkness to live in the kingdom of God forever. And for the rest of our earthly lives, we now live to love God and his children with all of our hearts, with all of our souls, and with all our mind. This unnamed woman in Mark's gospel and her motivation are certainly a reminder to us that it was not the important thing that she be named or recognized. For she knew and she did that which was her assigned duty. She simply did what her vocation called her to do at that moment. And she has become an integral part of the gospel story of Christ, who would suffer, who would die, and would be buried, but who would rise again from the dead. This unnamed woman, she wasn't the focal point of the story. Jesus and his saving work were. Her anonymity speaks and yells to that which was all important, Jesus, and him about to suffer and die for us. She has done what she was called to do. Jesus says that is simply how she lived out her vocation. She simply did that which she was called to do, this beautiful work of anointing his body beforehand for burial. She had eyes of faith only for Jesus. She had really fixed her eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of her faith. And she has gone to receive her eternal reward, not because of what she has done, but because of the one in whom she looked to accomplish it, all for the sake of Jesus. You and I are called in our various vocations, in whatever situation the Lord puts you and me in each day, to do that which he's called us to do, to love as we've been loved, to forgive as he's forgiven us, and without misjudging one another's attentions or intentions or words or actions, so that we can be politically correct? No. So that, yes, we can, like the woman, praise Christ and allow our life to be filled with good works, not to be praised by men, but only to be justified by God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the only reason you and I are ever pleasing to God. As the Father sees us, he first sees his Son. And in him, you and I are redeemed. As we look at these texts and go through these stories of the eyes of those who looked at Jesus, like this woman, whose actions were misjudged, I hope you've learned a valuable lesson. And next week, as we go to betraying eyes, and later in the the weeks ahead, we'll hear about sleepy eyes and this such. We'll start to see the characters around the crucifixion of Christ, and we'll see how much our Lord and our Savior has loved us, and how much more he wants to do for us in this earthly life. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you now to stand and open your hymnals. Open your hymnals to the back page where you'll find the Apostles' Creed. Apostles' Creed, back page. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
Christ is only Lord God,
by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, sins, resurrection, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We'll now gather our offerings.
God, from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above, ye heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord and Savior Jesus, we thank you that you have given us the wonderful examples of your word that teach us how to give, how to serve, and how to fast, and how to pray. Help us, O Lord, to do such, not to gain accolades from our fellow man or praise. We ask, O Lord, that the rewards that we seek would be those that are heavenly and eternal. And they are all won for us by you, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to fix our eyes upon you and the work of salvation that you accomplished. And help us to focus on those things that are truly works that bring glory and joy to our Heavenly Father and to you and the Holy Spirit. Such is the work of this woman to offer the anointing for you, dear Jesus, to anoint your body in preparation for its death and burial. Lord, in your mercy. Lord and Savior Jesus, we now pray that prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broke it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped and had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup in the New Testament, in my blood, is given and shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. You may be seated. Ken, take and eat the body of Christ, given unto death for you, Clay, for the remission of all of our sins.
Body of Christ, Pastor, given unto death for you.
Blood of Christ given unto death for you. Clay.
Blood of Christ shed for your sins, Pastor.
And now may these true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve in us the true faith until life everlasting. Amen. Let us go serve the Lord gladly. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Paul, take and eat the true body of Christ. JC, given unto death for you. Alyssa, the body of Christ. Body of Christ, Carolyn, given unto death for you. Connie, the body of Christ given for you. Mert, the body of Christ for you. Diane, the body of Christ for you. Bonnie, take and eat the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ is given unto death for you. Take and eat, Lauren, the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Mary Lou, the body of Christ for you. Robert, the body of Christ for you. Ulysses, the body of Christ for you. The body of Christ for you.
Welcome to the table of the Lord.
Linda, take and eat, the true body of Christ. Gail, the body of Christ for you. Terry, the body of Christ for you. Take and eat. Susan, the body of Christ for you. Larry. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Welcome to the table of the Lord, Daniel. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Bruce, take and eat the body of Christ for you. Tyler, take and eat the body of Christ given unto death for you. Stephanie, Noah, Jesus loves you. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Mary, take and eat the true body of Christ. Ted, given unto death for you. Julie, the Lord bless you and keep you at this journey at this time. Take and eat, Marty, the body of Christ. Take and eat, Kim, the body of Christ, given unto death for you. Mary Beth, Mark, the body of Christ for you. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat now the body of Christ, given unto death for you, the remission of all your sins. And Lauren, strengthen your face. Take and eat the true body of Christ, Tim, given unto death for you. Chuck, the body of Christ for you. Jamie, welcome to the table of the Lord. Try, take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for you, Matt. Barbara, the body of Christ for you. David, the body of Jesus for you. Body of Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat the body of Christ. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for you, for the remission of all your sins and the strengthening of your faith. Take and eat. Take and eat, Brian, the body of Christ given for you.
Blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for your sins. Blood of Christ shed on the cross for your sins. Blood of Christ shed on the cross for your sins. Christ shed.
The Lord be with you. We give thanks, Almighty God, for the gift of this sacrament in which we have beheld your great love and mercy in the gift of your Son for our pardon and peace. Strengthen us so that we may exhibit in our daily acts of love and piety our faithful response to your sacrifice for us until we see you in heaven. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. be seated. Very thankful for your presence here this night as we marked our first Ash Wednesday, Lent, this in the series. We'll be having Wednesday evening services at 12:10 noon until, and then 7 o'clock in the evenings from now until April 1st, including April 1st. And so we wanted to let you know that. Then we'll switch to the Easter week schedule, and that will be Maundy Thursday, Good Friday at 7 o'clock each. And then our Easter schedule being sunrise, Saturday service and at 6, and then sunrise, 6:30, 8, 9:30, and 11. So we wish you, just to give you that information. Tonight, we know you're here by God's design, and so we're very glad of that. Help remind you, you will have a cross on your forehead or on your hand, and also to remind you, you may want to pick up one of these nails. The thing that we're driven through Christ's hands and feet, just to remind us of the price he paid to take us to heaven. Those are located here in this bucket here, and if you go out this door, there's another bucket there, and if you're going to the back, there's another one there. And we wish you God's richest blessings this Lenten season. I think it'll be a good one. We hope to see you at each one. The services are going to be 45 minutes or less, and so that's what we'll be looking at. God's peace. Thanks again.